Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Meditation this morning comes from both the Old Testament and Gospel readings, as read prior. Most especially, Christ has come to execute justice, and thus we must prepare. Here we are at the beginning of Advent, beginning of another church year. And yet, the topic of this Sunday is not all that different from the topic of last Sunday. We have been talking about the end times and of Jesus' second coming. And the coming of Christ is very much what Advent is all about. Advent means coming. And so, Advent is a time of preparation for Christ's coming, both his first one that we most readily see in Christmas, but also for his second coming in our own lives. And so we have this prophecy from Jeremiah. He preaches about this branch that becomes a technical term, a technical prophecy about the coming Messiah. And of it, he says that he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. God's justice can be somewhat confusing to us, to be honest. I mean, we often have our own sense of what justice is. If you look to the courts, well, you find mixed results. Some judges think one way, some judges think another. It makes people confused as to what justice really is. The sort of preeminent way that people tend to think of justice is kind of called distributive justice, if you will, that people should get what they deserve according to what they have done. Plain and simple. You've probably heard that line before, pretty much. People should get what they deserve. And while there's some of that to God's justice, certainly not does not describe all of it. We know through this passage, through the Gospels, that Christ's work brings about justice, his life and office, that he would come and die and rise again. That certainly brought about justice. We know that because we are told it. Because God has said, this is what my justice looks like. But if you stop for a second, and think about what the implications are of that. Let your old Adam's thoughts seep in for just a moment. As I know that you believe otherwise, that you have faith, think of what your old Adam might say. This man dies, and everything everyone did wrong is forgiven, but only the people who believe in him. The people who did what I think are good things, but aren't Christian, their sins aren't forgiven? What's up with that? And yet, we know, and we want God's justice. Because without it, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. With God's justice, he is patient. He is slow to anger. He lets us live. He mends our ways himself. He makes us holy. He forgives our sins. Even though we have done wrong, we do not get bad things in return. At least, not on Judgment Day. Sure, we still have the first death to contend with, and that is the death of that old Adam that may be still coursing through your mind. God's justice is the only way you or I could be saved. If it was a man ruling the world, none would be left standing. In faith, the Holy Spirit has granted us the ability to see both our sin and the need for our Savior, and the fact that this is just. And so, when Jesus comes triumphant into Jerusalem, ready to meet his death, he's here to execute justice. And no one knows what it's going to look like. They're rejoicing, praising him in the streets. And yet he has come not to be praised, but to die. He is executing justice. He is being praised for it, as is his right. In fact, it's not just his right. He says it's inevitable. If the disciples were quiet, the stones would cry out. The announcement of justice is here. All are recognizing this king in Jerusalem. All who believe, anyway. The Pharisees are obstinate. Not all are behind him. And it is men who are in Jerusalem that will kill him. But he's here to show the difference. The difference between his justice and ours. He's here to show us what true kingship is. Not just an earthly king with gold and silver. Not with pomp and an indestructible car, as our president may have. He comes on a donkey. He comes in humility. And he needs this donkey, this means to come. Sure, another way could be theoretically be devised, but this is the way it must happen. And this looks completely different than what we heard last week. This first coming, he's coming on a donkey. The second coming, the coming of the Son of Man, is on high, descending from the clouds with a horde of angels in full glory. And yet these two comings are in a sense one and the same. We cannot tell our own glory and justice by what we see, by what we know here on earth. When we look to heavenly things and we can see, oh, we can see the majesty and glory, but when we look to what at the objective things Christ did on earth, maybe it can look lacking sometimes. You don't see his glory. It's not seen. It's not obvious. It's not visible. Sure, there was the transfiguration, and a couple disciples got to see it then. But until he died, until he executed justice in that way, his glory was obscured. We could not see it. All we saw was the humility of a donkey. But this is what he's trying to say is glorious. That which is humble, that which is poor, that which is lowly, is meek. That these are the greatest things and the greatest people. For they shall receive their reward, the reward for their patience. They shall be the ones that will call out to God, and they shall hear a response. For those who trust in him shall not be put to shame. The justice that was worked is worked on their behalf, on behalf of the weak, on behalf of the helpless, on behalf of us. For spiritually, we are helpless. And yet, the response shows that glory. The fact that he could come in riding on a donkey, and yet everyone praises him. I'm sure there were hundreds of people riding in to Jerusalem on donkeys, day in and day out, indistinguishable from one another. And yet, this one man was different. The way had been prepared for him. He had the donkey. Their cloaks were set down. He had a gentle ride, at least as far as riding donkeys is concerned. Now, if you remember from the opening of the sermon, that Advent is the time of preparation. He's coming. Christ is coming. He is coming to execute justice. Just the same when he judges on the last day is justice. And so, in the same way, perhaps we should look to how the way was prepared for the first coming here, to look how we might prepare for the second coming. And that donkey is where we learn. Consider where it came from. A random man in the village who had his donkey tied up out front. The disciples walk up, start untying it, and they respond just as Jesus told them to. They simply say, "The Lord has need of it." I mean, imagine if you looked out your window and saw two guys trying to hotwire your truck, and you went out there and asked them what they were doing, and they just said, "The Lord has need of it." Jesus needs your truck. It might be a little hard to just say, "Okay." And yet we hear of no more protest from this man. Certainly don't have an account where the Jesus, okay, they said the Lord has need of it, and then quickly untied the donkey faster and ran off. No. This unnamed man prepares the way for the Lord by offering his donkey. By in humility, offering up his own possessions to be used for the glory of God. Just as the Lord needed that donkey to come, as it was prophesied that he would ride in on a donkey. The Lord also has need of people and things to accomplish his justice. I mean, the justice won at the cross is namely the forgiveness of sins. That is justice. Against all reason. And here, the church. The church is the place where we receive that justice, where we receive forgiveness of sins. The word and sacraments are God's promised means, which God has designated the forgiveness of sins to be given through. They each give their own unique thing in order to accomplish this. But they all are here in the church as the place of forgiveness of sins. For how could we have baptism without water? How would we have water in the baptismal font if no one put it there? Sure, God could theoretically fill it with water miraculously for us. It's not how he's decided to do it. He has decided and said that people would do so. How could we have Holy Communion without bread and wine? And how would we have bread and wine if no one went out and bought it? How would anyone be able to buy it if no one grew grapes and fermented them? Or no grain was planted and harvested? Or no one would bake bread? God could theoretically fix these things, but he has chosen to fix them through you. Missionaries would go to great lengths to get wine into remote locations that they went. I mean, grapes were certainly a more European and Asian. This, the other side of the world from us. And yet we have grapes here, probably for this very purpose were they brought to begin with, that they would bring wine, they could have communion. And so many things are necessary in order for forgiveness of sins to be given. It's not as though it's some burden or requirement or something that we ourselves do, but it is simply God's way of providing. I mean, to offer these things up, they're worthless. And yet God makes them effective and beneficial for us. There would be no sermon if I didn't prepare it beforehand. And many things are just necessary for running the church. I mean, just for the sake of good order. God provides bulletins so that we know what's happening in the service. And yet, he doesn't just magically make them appear. This building is a great gift. It can't have been cheap to make such a grand and glorious building. And yet, it is here. It is given for us. Everything in the church must be accomplished in this way. So God has promised to work in these means. The means of people. So elders of the church and trustees handle many of the affairs of the church. And I myself can testify that this congregation has done much to offer up their generosity to me. I have received food, money, house, warm welcomes, and friends. I know that God's justice is here. I know that it is being accomplished. I know that you are being made holy. But I am not a pastor. Not yet. I am in training, and so I have been given to be able to preach and to conduct service for the purposes of my training. And you have given me so much, though I am not qualified. And I thank you for this. My time here has been nothing but blessing. Yet how much more should you give for the one who is qualified? How much more should you give for the one man who shall stand before you and give God's justice, the forgiveness of sins, and be that instrument from God? I pray that he may come soon, and I pray that he may find this place well. Respond well to the call that the Lord has need of it. for your faith does indeed match that of the unnamed man who trusted the word of Christ that came through his disciples. For I have seen it firsthand. Surely if there was need, God would bring up what is necessary, but he has set you up to do this. He has chosen you and made you holy. He has forgiven your sins, cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and brought his justice and righteousness to bear upon each and every one of your souls. He protects us always. So before I say a few words to wrap up, I would like to pray the collect of the day with you. There's no place for the collect in Matins, and so we do not have it here. But it summarizes this Sunday's theme quite well. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is by his power that he stirs up that the church is sustained. For it is by his power that he has sanctified you and made you to be holy, forgiving your sins and bringing you to be one with Christ, so that finally you may be brought to walk with him on the last day. So that you may have a new, pure man inside of you that wills to do the good works of God that he has set forth before you. Never forget that even in the affairs of men, God is ever present and working. Never forget that you are a beneficiary of Christ's justice. Never forget the hope that is in you, for it will be fulfilled when Christ comes. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto eternity. Amen.